Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another show with Elizabeth Ann Bach and Cliff Harwin. Today, our show is going to discuss another topic regarding the highly sensitive person with myself and Cliff. We're going to be discussing what the right livelihood is for a highly sensitive person. I would like to announce Cliff. Are you with us, Cliff?
Yes, I am, Liz.
Hi, how are you, Cliff?
Good. How are you, Liz?
Good. Yes. Good to be here with you today.
My pleasure.
Yes. So, you know, I announced that we're going to be discussing our topic today would be the what is the right livelihood for the highly sensitive person? Before we get into that, though, I wanted to ask you, we've been doing a lot of segments, you know, different segments with the highly sensitive person, various different topics relating to that. Have you had a lot of feedback from some of the topics that we've discussed in the past?
Well, I have. I have received a lot of feedback. First of all, a lot of people didn't understand what a highly sensitive person was. They knew about high sensitivity, but they didn't realize that it was a inherited character trait. And for people that are new on the subject, being a highly sensitive person is an inherited character trait that's characterized by an overactive nervous system, which means that we process more information physically and emotionally than others. And we've been accused of being too sensitive, taking things to heart. And I really didn't understand this concept until about 5 years ago. So it's been a real learning experience for me. You know, I've done a lot of research, and in talking to other highly sensitive people, it's kind of validating to realize that there's nothing wrong with us. And when we understand our high sensitivity, we can utilize it rather than thinking of it as a detriment in our lives.
Well, I think, you know, the important thing is to know that, know yourself and know what works for you. And that's the key with anything that we're dealing with in our lives. So if you are highly sensitive, it's just one of those things. It's just another thing that I think, you know, we all kind of bear some kind of cross, you know, or some kind of situation that differentiates us. It's the mystery of life. So highly sensitive people, you know, what's great about this, and I really enjoy these shows with you, not only because of the kind of person you are and, you know, just the nature of who you are. You know, you have a great nature.
Thank you.
But because I think that, you know, it's good to talk about things that people out there may have a need to understand and be educated about if they're dealing with that particular situation. And, you know, we get a lot of listeners on the show, so there's a lot of people that, you know, are in need of this type of information. So I'm happy to be able to help those individuals as well as myself, and, you know, work with you on that. So I wanted to add that before we get started.
Well, I really appreciate our time together, because
it
helps me as well as it just helps the audience.
Yeah, it does. There's a lot of people that really want to learn about this and want to understand what they can do. And, you know, if anybody's listening, you know, if there's any questions, you know, that you have regarding the topic, you know, that we're going to discuss today, feel free to call in at any time. And Cliff would be happy to answer some of those questions. So don't, you know, be shy. Just call in and ask and join in the conversation with things you might want to share. That may educate us, you know, that we could learn about. And it will help other listeners, too. So, you know, I mean, some of the things that we want to, you know, we're trying to break these things down so that there are different, so we're not throwing everything all out there at once. And, again, our topic today is going to be about the right livelihood, you know, and finding whether or not your temperament and your strengths are not a good match for your current occupation. That might be something really important for someone. You know, maybe they've been struggling and they don't know why they've been struggling. I think you and I both have experienced that and lived and learned the hard way.
Definitely.
you know, and so, and that's life, you know, sometimes, because it may not be that they're highly sensitive. It may be just, you know, they've chosen the wrong field because they were forced to do so, you know, in their family. You know, their family caused them to choose an occupation, you know. There might be doctors out there that became a doctor because their father was a doctor and his father was a doctor and, you know, so on and so forth. So what's going on with that?
Yeah, it's very true that we seem to gravitate towards different vocations or different careers or different life paths because, you know, we don't really have an idea. We really don't give it the time to really think about what we want. And when I think of right livelihood, I like to, my definition of right livelihood is at different stages of your life, your livelihood could be many things, okay? If you're a child, your, quote, livelihood is going to be to go to school, to learn as much as you can, to have fun. And that's basically your purpose in life when you're, you know, when you're a child. Okay, when you're a college student, you know, you're going to school and you're taking classes and you're trying to figure out what you want to do. And as you get older, you're going to be at different stages of your life where sometimes just life throws you a curveball and circumstances dictate what your, quote, livelihood is. Okay, if, you know, sometimes we might have illnesses that might cause us to, our purpose at that time is to get well. Okay, we might be a caretaker for someone who's having problems. And that purpose would be to help this person as much as possible. Okay, if you're a parent, one of the most important purposes that you have is to make sure that your children become good citizens. Okay, and you know, being a parent, that it's a full-time job. It's a full-time job. So when you think of livelihood, it doesn't necessarily have to be a vocation for money, but sometimes life dictates certain career paths for you at that point, okay? If you're older.
Relating this to the, yeah, I mean, that's definitely obvious, yes. You know, that's something we all struggle with. Based on our own challenges day to day. But relating this to the highly sensitive person, you brought up a good subject when it came to the highly sensitive person topic is mothering and career, parenting and career. And my goodness, the highly sensitive person juggling the both of those things. But, you know, our topic today is the right livelihood. So we're looking at what a highly sensitive person can do without having some callers that are struggling with some issues they've realized just from listening to us they're having. We can kind of maybe know based on our experiences or, just the common sense of our knowledge we've gained to assist them in that. And if you're highly sensitive and you're in a career that you're not happy with, you're finding that you are highly sensitive and you're listening and you have issues that you're recognizing, you know, light bulbs are going on and you're saying, you know, this is just not the career for me and I never realized that it was because I was highly sensitive, so now what? And that's what Cliff and I are discussing is, how do you choose the right livelihood now that you may realize this is not the right one and, you know it's because of this nature. And so one of the things that's difficult, I think, for anyone whether they're highly sensitive or not, is changing careers. And a highly sensitive person has more difficulty because they are highly sensitive, and change in and of itself is difficult. Not everybody has trouble with change. You know, they seem to transition smoothly sometimes without any issue. But the highly sensitive person definitely has issue with change more often than not. That is one of the definite characteristics. So when you're in a situation and you need to change because you realize now this is where you're at, what would you suggest to someone, Cliff, that they do
Okay.
In this year.
I think that change is hard for anyone. I don't think it's just a highly sensitive person thing. I think change is very difficult for everyone, especially
yeah.
in these times when we're forced
sure.
to make certain changes in our life. You know, I know many people that have been careers for 10, 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden they have to make have to change gears. Okay, that could
mm-hmm.
be very jarring for anyone. But I think that in talking to other highly sensitive people and based on my own experience, I kind of felt that, especially the first jobs that I've had in the past, you know, when I first started to work, I felt that I was mismatched for the kind of work that I was doing. Okay, I'll give an example. One of my first jobs was to be this is in the 70s now, this is without computers and without voicemail, where I worked for a large corporation, and I was basically a customer relations correspondent, okay? It meant handling complaints, okay? Now, I'd hand complaints through the phone and through letter correspondence, okay? So I was constantly dealing with complaints. And, you know, that was just a real shock to my nervous system because I hadn't been in a position before. When people call you, they're going to call you because they're mad. And if you have this over a certain length of time, it's going to really fray your nerves a lot. Okay?
Yeah, you get burnt out pretty fast.
You can get burnt out pretty fast. And I originally got the job because I had very good writing skills. And also, I was very, I worked with people very well. And I could empathize with people, which is a trait of highly sensitive people. Okay, so I had the qualifications for the job, but the emotional qualifications were something that was not a good fit for me. And I find in talking to other highly sensitive people, I find that they're mismatched. Okay, they might be in the right career, but they're not in the right environment. Okay, and environment is extremely important. Now, when you go for a job interview, I look at it as a two-way street, where the prospective employer is checking you out, but a highly sensitive person, especially, should really check out the surroundings they're going to be working in. The kind of people they're going to be working with, and also the details of the job. And the only way you're going to make a good decision about that is to know yourself better. And that's the purpose of my work, to get people to understand themselves better so they can make better choices in their lives.
Well, the making good choices, obviously the differentiation between, you know, the highly sensitive person in discussing some of these things and the person who may not be highly sensitive, because there are truly people that, you know, do not have that nature and seem to be fine with different choices they're making, even though they're maybe not happy with their career. But with the highly sensitive person, what's important is that you, first of all, you recognize you're highly sensitive and you take any kind of action, whether it's counseling, you do meditation, you incorporate meditation, yoga, you know, different strategies that will help you to connect with the part of you that can work with the highly sensitive part, which is the overactive nervous system. That's the key. And then, you know, I transitioned about 5-6 years ago myself, and from one career to another career, and, you know, be realistic about that. You know, I had to be realistic because, and I share this with you because it's, you know, personal example is probably one of the best ways to convey, you know, your feelings on something. And it wasn't easy at the time. You know, it was very scary and didn't understand how it was actually all going to play out. And, you know, there's a meantime that you have to pay your bills and you got to, you know, do all this stuff in the meantime that you're doing this transition. But it was exciting too, because I was like, you know, a robot. I was in a career that I chose at one point, and it became robotic. You know, I just felt like I wasn't growing in that area, and I felt like it just wasn't for me anymore. And so the change in career was inevitable. But like everyone who's feeling a career setback, you know, I was having that as well in that field. So it was inevitable that I had to change careers. So
okay.
I chose my next best love. And so when you're doing that and you're highly sensitive, one of the things that you need to do is, you know, become comfortable with yourself. Become comfortable with, you know, the fact that it's got to happen. You know, don't
well,
stop.
You have to really understand yourself, but also it's very important that sometimes you have to try, you have to have different experiences to finally figure out what you want. Now,
yep.
It's very important that highly sensitive people, if they're in a situation where they're not happy now, okay, it's very important that they try to figure out where their unrest is coming from, okay? And some
yep.
questions to think about would be the kind of work, you know, the kind of work that I'm doing, is it the kind of work that I want to do? Okay, that's an obvious question, but sometimes it might be the right type of work, but not the right company or the right people that you're working with. Okay, and you might have to take your skills into another arena where you might be more comfortable. Okay, I'm more comfortable in a situation that, okay, I've been self-employed for 30 years, and it's not that I wanted to, that I had a, you know, driving need to have my own business, but I just felt very uncomfortable taking orders and being scrutinized, and it was more stressful for me to be in my own business. It was more stressful to work for someone than to actually have my own business. And these are the kind of decisions, these are the kind of choices that we have to make for ourselves. Sometimes we might have to chart our own path. Maybe the best livelihood path would be to create our own path rather than working from a situation where you might work for somebody. Now, you know, all people are not, you know, you have to decide whether you want to be in your own business or not. But I think it's something that I think highly sensitive people should really consider, especially with the internet, where you can do as much or as little as you want on the internet. And it's just amazing how we're, you know, we're, a lot of things you can do now, but we're really in the infancy stage of what can be done in the future. And this is providing more choices for highly sensitive people as well as others. And that's what we really need to know. We really need to know what the, you know, what the situation is. Now, another thing, because of economic circumstances, we might have to endure a situation that we're in right now. Okay, and that's understandable. As I said, this is another personal choice. Okay, in a case where you have to stay, well, you know, you got to figure out, well, what's making you unhappy, and in most cases, it's probably the people around you. Either they're making demands or hard to get along with, or, you know, you just find it very comfortable. It's very important that highly sensitive people let other people know what their needs are. And you can do this in a non-threatening way, but it's very easy since highly sensitive people tend to be perfectionists, we tend to try to take maybe more than we can. And it seems that the more that we do, the more people expect of us. So I think we have to have the right balance with what we can realistically handle and to let other people know that there's only so much we can do. Okay, and
yeah, what's important is a step-by-step guide, you know, for highly sensitive people to follow. One of the main things that a highly sensitive person wants to do is incorporate some kind of relaxation techniques. You know, again, it's important that, you know, if you are highly sensitive, and there's many forms of high sensitivity that may branch off into, say, like depression or, different other areas like depression that
well,
may...
Well, given enough time, you know, if you're unhappy, if you have chronic stress, it's going to cause your immune system to be compromised, and that's true of everyone. And, you know, not just highly sensitive people, but it's very important for everyone to not go above their physical and emotional capabilities. And that's something that everybody has to decide for themselves. Relaxation techniques. Okay, we have to know when we need to take a break. Okay, and sometimes because we're conscientious, sometimes we go above that because we want to do good things. We want to do the right thing. And sometimes
I want to go over real quick. I want to tell everyone who's listening to go to your website, thehighlysensitiveperson.com. Right off the bat, when you log on to the website, it'll point out different aspects of what a highly sensitive person has to go through. And one of the topics is, do you go through life feeling like a human sponge that deeply takes in everything around you? Do you wonder why you feel agitated in a crowded environment? Are you in need of a lot of alone time to decompress from your daily activities? Some people might say that's the average person, but when we talk about the highly sensitive person, we're talking about someone that not only feels overwhelmed after a long day at work, but also has other side effects, that may happen, where they manifest them in maybe their eating habits or, not being able to sleep, not being able to come to that relaxation period very easily. It doesn't come very easily. So the average person might not have that difficulty, whereas the highly sensitive person might. And then there's a self-test down in the middle of the website homepage that I want to encourage people to take. We're not going to do that in the show. If there's a caller that's out there and wants to call in and discuss something about the self-test, we're more than happy to go over that. But it's real important that you take that self-test to see where you are.
Right. This self-test was developed by Dr. Elaine Aron, and she did extensive studies on this. She was the one that really started the initial research on this. It's very accurate. It's very accurate. In fact, it's really kind of amazing. Sometimes I see people and they ask me what I do, and I said I read about highly sensitive people, and they'll say, "What is that?" But they don't really know what it is. But then they automatically think that they are, and chances are 9 times out of 10 they are. Okay, and it's as I said, everybody has some degree of sensitivity. But it's a question of what degree of sensitivity do you have, okay? You can be sensitive to many things. And environment is something that's very important for us. We have to be in our right element, okay, whether it be a personal situation, whether it be in a business situation, whether it be when I talked about, livelihood, okay, sometimes, if you're retired, let's say you're disabled or whatever, everybody has a purpose, and sometimes the right element might be just to be a good friend. Okay, being a good friend is a type of existence. Okay, we're very good friends, and the fact that we're good listeners, people confide in us. Okay, we're looked at as, it just seems kind of funny, but it seems that we're able to solve other people's problems better than our own problems. It's
well,
true
if
for
I
me,
have to
definitely.
Point out from the self-test, just to give people a heads up once they, log on to your website, and they might click on the self-test, I think, when I look at the list, and there's quite a few things on the list that you can check off to indicate if you feel, by reading those, and you might indicate to you that you are the highly sensitive person, but I think reading them all, the three really jump out at me as what differentiates most of the characteristics, which is, one, I'm easily overwhelmed by strong sensory input, and two, I seem to be aware of subtleties in my environment, and three, other people's moods affect me. Now, these three things really jump out at me as opposed to I tend to be a very sensitive to pain, or I'm particularly sensitive to the effects of caffeine, or I'm made uncomfortable by loud noises, which could kind of, even though it goes into the full array of characteristics, the first three that I mentioned are really crucial because when you're highly sensitive, as opposed to, you know, some of the other characteristics. Why? I think because I was just going to make a point real quick, and then, you know, I'd like to hear what you've studied too. You know, the subtleties in the environment, the moods that affect, you know, highly sensitive people, these are all things that affect us more so on a job or in relationships, being highly sensitive. So those are real crucial.
It is crucial, and it's very important to realize that, you know, the characteristics that you had mentioned, everybody doesn't have the same characteristics. Okay, I'm on the high side of being a highly sensitive person, so I have pretty much all of them in different degrees of, you know, how they affect me. But the more I understand it, you know, especially taking on other people's energy, good and bad, okay, being out, and I could just take on the, you know, negative and positive vibrations, and that sometimes that can be overwhelming. Okay, so that's where I need to take a break. Let's say, you know, I'm at a business meeting and, you know, I'm just feeling very jumpy or whatever. I know I need to take a break. You know, it's very important that we take these breaks and to let other people know. We don't necessarily have to say why we have to take the break, but we have to be confident enough to take breaks when we need to. Okay? In social situations, there are times when you might be at a party and you feel that you're just overwhelmed. You get to a point of being overwhelmed, or maybe feel irritable or irritated. Okay, when you have that feeling, you need to make a break, either to get out of the situation entirely or to just go outside for about 5-10 minutes to decompress. Okay, and in a business situation, the same thing. Okay, we have to And talking to other highly sensitive people, and as I first, found out about my high sensitivity, it was very, I felt like I was misunderstood. And I think that's a common thing of highly sensitive people where they feel that they're misunderstood. Okay? It's really what I'm finding is we really need to help people understand us. Okay? You know, people don't
I think the important thing, too, is to, I know that, you know, many of these characteristics that incorporate, and again, it's in the self-test, and we can break them down one by one. But what's important is that even though you are highly sensitive, which, again, is, you know, what's the right livelihood for a highly sensitive person? How do we gear up a highly sensitive person to feel confident to overcome some of these characteristics and feelings that has really caused too much stress on them to...
Okay. I don't think that they should deny their feelings. I think that they need to listen to their feelings. Okay? It's very important that highly sensitive... Because we do have a high sense of intuition. And it's very important that we utilize this important... You know, it's a positive characteristic. And the problem becomes when we don't trust what we know is true for us, or whether it be a situation, like we have definite feelings about certain things, and we have to listen to that, okay, about right livelihood. Okay, you really have to listen to, well, you first of all, you have to, right livelihood is based on your interests, it's based on your strengths, and there are different ways to incorporate that. And sometimes, like you mentioned before, Liz, that sometimes you might have to try different things. Okay, now, you might not have to try as many things. Yeah, you might have to try as many things if you understand what you're looking for. Okay?
Well, let me give you another example, of three characteristics. My nervous system sometimes feels so frazzled that I just have to go off by myself.
Right.
The second one is I'm conscientious, and the third, I startle easily. Now, if you look at those three characteristics, they're quite the opposite of each other. And so when you look at the one that says my nervous system gets frazzled, I have to go off on myself, you know, there's all kinds of personality, psychological disorders that could incorporate some of those feelings. But what differentiates those these particular characteristics in the highly sensitive person arena in the psychological disorder arena is that, you know, this is not the same manifestation that comes from these feelings. So it's important to understand that when you say I'm conscientious, but yet I startle easily, the two are opposite. A conscientious person could be relaxed, but just conscientious. However, the highly sensitive person, when you say I'm conscientious, it's to a level of wanting to take on more than just being conscientious. You know,
that's something that needs to be explored. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a psychological disorder. I do HSP coaching, and I'm not a psychologist. I have a lot of experience in business and relationships, and I talk to people based on my experience. And sometimes people need to just vent their feelings and need to get another opinion from another person like themselves. Now, there are times when if your conscientiousness or your feelings prevent you from doing things, if anything becomes excessive and something destructive, then you need to go for professional, psychological, counseling for that. But it's something that's another thing that, you know, intuition will tell you, well, it's something where maybe indecision or maybe lack of clarity in your life is causing my angst, or is there more involved in it, okay? And I think if we listen to what our bodies and minds are telling us, I think it will give us a very good idea of which way we need to go, okay? And being a conscientious person, okay, that's a good thing, but it can be a bad thing if you try to, as you say, get into more projects or, you know, try to help more people than you can. Okay, that's where you need to set down.
Well, I have to say it, but it would be, that's all, yes, that's very important what you're saying, and I think it's you do a great job of coaching with the highly sensitive person, and so that's a real key. But what we would benefit from, I think, ultimately, is to really kind of find out the connection between the physiological aspects of a highly sensitive person, because there does appear to be, if we're talking about an overactive nervous system, some physiological aspects to it. But, the level of difference between a psychological disorder and a highly sensitive person still remains, and one of the key components is to avoid medicating, but maybe to incorporate more relaxation techniques. Things that, you know, if you go down this list, is really important for you to look at, because it really defines where you feel you are either, you know, having more issues than others, and helps you to focus on those things. So if you pick one of these characteristics and you say, that's me, yeah, that's me, and you go down the list, you may utilize these these characteristics to help you focus on that when you're feeling it, and then think of a way to work with it.
It's a way you can work with it. You know, as I said, it's a way you can work with it, but also it's a way of if you find that life is too overwhelming and you're not functioning properly and you're having more problems than that's excessive over, you know, if it's over, you know, a long period of time, or a longer period of time than you would like, then you need to delve into it further. But a lot of people that I coach, if I feel that they can benefit from psychological counseling, I'll make that suggestion to do so. Okay, so it's a question of sometimes talk therapy, talking with other highly sensitive people is helpful, because you don't feel like you're alone. And because when you realize that there are other people like yourself, you can more be yourself, and I think that's the key to it. The more that you can be yourself, the more you don't have to apologize. You really don't have to apologize, because there's nothing wrong with being highly sensitive. Okay, everybody has different characteristics about themselves that they like and what they don't like, but I think high sensitivity is a good thing, because, you know, and it's a good thing when you have a positive outlook towards it. Okay, when you don't understand your high sensitivity, you tend to look at having your sensitivity as a negative rather than a positive. And I really believe, as I said, when I first found out about it, I really believed it was a good thing. And I wanted to find out all that I could to to utilize my good traits and to work with what I have. I think that's important for everybody, HSP or not.
So, the question still remains is what and how does a highly sensitive person choose a good livelihood or choose the right livelihood for them?
Okay. Well, it depends. It might be highly sensitive people gravitate towards helping professions. Okay, being a counselor, being a teacher, being a social worker, nurse, members of the clergy, writers, something creative, something helpful. Okay, people really have to look at the positive aspects of what they like and what they want to do. You have to have a vision for yourself. And a lot of that is based on who you are. And sometimes highly sensitive people tend to overlook their positive traits, and they think if they have a strength, they don't look at it as a strength if something comes easy to them. And I think that's human nature. If something comes easy to you, you take it for granted. You take it for granted, and you don't use it as something that you can help other people with. So I think that you really have to embrace the kind of things that you are good at. Okay, it's one thing. I don't believe in focusing on your weaknesses because you could always get help for that. I think if you focus on the positives and work with the positives that you have, that's how you're going to find your livelihood. And it's a matter of temperament. It's a matter of the kind of situation you want to work in. If you're a creative person, there's a lot of artists, there's a lot of writers, some famous HSPs. I haven't met them personally, but I would imagine that, great writers such as Emily Dickinson and Edgar Allan Poe, this is something that it's a good vocation for highly sensitive person, because being a writer myself, I like independent projects. Okay, and that's something that I can work independently. I can work when I want to. I can utilize my the best times for me to write. Okay, my best times to write are in the morning. Okay, so we have different body rhythms, and sometimes we have to know that what our rhythms are. Okay, if you're an artist, you might want to do, you might want to do different types of shows. Okay, it's really a matter of choice, and it's a matter of picking and choosing and experimenting, not being afraid to venture forth. Okay, a good example of that is me being on your show. Okay, we basically met each other through Twitter. You had contacted me. You mentioned that you had your show, and then we started to talk. And when you asked me to be on your show, that was a real major deal for me, because to be on the air, you're exposing yourself to a lot of different people, and you're subject to criticism and ridicule, whatever. These are all things that I remember as a child, but it was something that when we got to talk to each other, I had a good feeling about you. Although we've never met in person, I just felt very comfortable, and although it was out of my comfort zone, I just felt it was something that I wanted to do, and I just felt that you were a nice person. This is my intuition telling me that you were a nice person and that you wouldn't throw me under the bus. You know what I'm saying? These are the kind of things that I was listening to my intuition to get into something that was very challenging to me.
And that's the key to, being, highly sensitive. But, there's many performers. Let's just go to a different level. There's many performers who get nervous. Even though it's a common thing when you're going to be speaking in public, in any kind of way. So that's common for anyone. That is something that we all overcome on a regular basis. But I know, that's true too. And when I did see your information, as we've said this before, it just struck me as something so unique. because it was never highlighted the way that you've highlighted it. I mean, you know, your website and everything, it's just great. So, and it's helping a lot of people, Cliff.
Well,
you know, I mean,
yeah, I'm very glad, and as I said, I like to work with other highly sensitive people in the field. You know, we compare notes and we try to, you know, just to get knowledge together, and that's very important.
Yep.
Because not that many people really know about this. I mean, it's really relatively not out in the open. It's just not out there. And I think whatever I can do to get the information out there, whatever I can do to tell other people about other highly sensitive people in business. I mean, if you go to my website, www.thehighlysensitiveperson, I have a resource list of different highly sensitive people and also different resources that I think are helpful to highly sensitive people. Okay, so, you know, I want to be, my company is an information source, inspiration and information for highly sensitive people. Okay, that's why I have the newsletter. That's why.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a chat or a blog that people can go to on a regular basis to meet up, you know, and then,
right.
You
well,
know.
Well, this is something, you know, I'm experimenting with because, you know, I'm finding that there's more interest. There's a lot of international interest. And there's just so many different things that can be done, you know, from a technical standpoint, and it's something I'm really looking into to do more programs. As I said, I'm doing more teleconferences and teleseminars at this point. It's a way of getting the word out. I've had some health issues, and I really can't do in-person things right now. So that's where, you know, you have to make adjustments in your life. And that's the adjustment I'm making, all right? I'm spending more time trying to actually getting programs together for highly sensitive people. In fact, the next one I'm having is this Thursday. It's about this topic where, you know, we're going to have a teleconference on right livelihood for highly sensitive people. I want to, you know, talk more about that. But, you know, I've done other decision-making for highly sensitive people, dealing with different situations, conflict resolution. You know, I've dealt, you know, I've had some seminars on that. Also, purpose.
Now, and people people can get these from going to your website. They can.
Yes, well, as I said, they can go on. They can actually opt in for my newsletter at www.thehighlysensitiveperson.com, and I have a resource list. You can opt in for my free newsletter, and also I have a free ebook. When you opt in for the free newsletter, you can get my free. You'll get the link for my free ebook, Real World Advice Specifically for Highly Sensitive People. And it's based on my observation of life, and I've been told that a lot of people relate to what I write in there. So, and also, of course, my book, and I have products that are specifically helpful for highly sensitive people, especially stress relieving. I have CDs specifically for highly sensitive people with highly sensitive nervous systems. These are products that I use. So between talking on a show like this with you, it's very, you know, I want to get the word out. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook. That's information you can get from my website.
Great.
So,
you have a lot of followers. We're ready to recap here and end the show, unfortunately, for now.
Okay.
To recap, they can visit your website at thehighlysensitiveperson.com. That's really the key right there, because you can join his Twitter and Facebook by going to the website, and there's that self-test.
Also the monthly newsletter, Thoughts for the Thoughtful.
Right. Excellent. And the self-test, which is really crucial, because you can break down those characteristics and let them you know, help you on a daily basis, and visit his teleconferences.
Okay. Also,
so,
people can email me, cliff@thehighlysensitiveperson.com. They could email me questions. I'll be great.
Okay, we'll put that on the blog. We'll put that on the blog so they can get there, and then they can also get there from your website.
Great.
So it was great, Cliff, and until next time, thank you very much.
Thank you, Liz. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Yes, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Get to Old Navy to redeem your Super Cash. Use your Old Navy card in-store or online with your Super Cash to earn double reward points at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 6-2 to 6-10. Excludes gift cards. Double reward points offer subject to credit approval.
So you're stuffing a raw chicken full of lemon and tarragon, and you're sweating because A, you can fit a lot of lemon and tarragon inside a chicken, and B, your data's arriving soon and you still haven't opened wine or put on music or set the mood, but you do have an Amazon Echo, so you say,
Alexa, turn on date night.
Okay.
And just like that, romantic music begins to play, the lights are dimmed, and all you have to do is pour the wine right after you wash your hands, thoroughly.
Alexa, you're amazing.
My pleasure.